download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And I'm not Kevin Tachi, I'm Christine James, but I'm here on Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi and also WATD's Charles Mathewson. And also sitting in with us tonight, we have Lisa Kaczynski from the Marshfield Mariner. And you know what tonight is? It is a WATD political forum. I'm Christine James, your moderator. We're featuring a doubleheader tonight. First up, the candidates for the 4th Plymouth District. We've got incumbent Democrat Jim Cantwell and his Republican challenger, Jim Pavlik. Thank you for joining us tonight, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. The 4th District is Marshfield and all of Scituate except for one precinct. Now, right. Next up tonight, as soon as we wrap up with these folks, which is going to be right around 7:15, we've got the candidates for the 6th Plymouth District. That's incumbent Democrat Josh Cutler and Republican Joe Sheehan. 6th Plymouth District is Duxbury Precincts 2 through 6, Hanson and Pembroke. And of course, we told you who we've got in here asking questions, and we're trying something new tonight. We have an official timer. That's Jeffrey Morrissey from the WATD newsroom. Jeffrey's going to be timing the answers. We're using color coding. Green means go. Yellow means you've got about 10 seconds, and red means stop. And this means you already went past red. Okay, that's it. And I know you guys are going to be good about that. In general, we're going to try to stick to about a minute for your answers. Now, if it's a more detailed question, I'll give you a minute 30, and I'll tell you. Okay, so you'll always know how much time you have. Now, our format is very simple. We ask candidates to have opening and closing statements prepared. They can be as short as you want, but please no longer than 2 minutes. In between, we ask a round of questions, including the famous lightning round, where the answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences tops, which we find people running for office impossible to stick to. Now, sometimes we give the candidates also a chance to ask each other a question or two. We chose the opening order out of the official new newsroom koozie featuring a depiction of Mount Rushmore to determine opening and closing order. Jim Kent was going to start, then Jim Pavlik will be next, and then we reverse that in the end, and we go with Jim Pavlik and then Jim Cantwell. So let's start tonight with our opening comments. Jim Cantwell, your opening comments for our listeners.
Christine, thank you very much. I want to thank WATD for hosting this forum, and indeed for your intense local coverage. Specifically, I want to thank you, Kevin, Charlie, Jeffrey, Joe, Lisa. We have a cast of thousands here giving their time to make sure we have a great debate. Jim, I also want to thank you, Jim Pavlik, for your service to our country. I know we've gotten to know one another a little bit during this campaign. As a lifelong resident of the South Shore, being your state representative is the greatest professional honor of my life. It's also the greatest professional challenge. This is a 7-day-a-week job, to almost 24/7, when you need to meet people and be able to help them, and help them we've done. Together, we've made a great difference in the lives of people here in Marshfield and Scituate on things that I hope we can talk about tonight, on things like flood insurance, where we were able to fight exorbitant rates that were being charged to folks and to push back against maps that were inaccurate. Job creation for Route 139, creating some 900 new jobs in the future from the work that I helped to push forward and to make sure that we would get accomplished this year. Seawalls, where we had $30 million that we've been able to get just in the last 2 years alone. The lion's share of that money coming right here to our district in Marshfield and Scituate. New commercial piers, the list goes on and on. A new Marshfield High School, in addition to work that we've done combating substance abuse, reforming welfare programs, and promoting election reform. And Christine, on a final note of elections, how we campaign is very important as well. Jen, my wife, and I have a 14-year-old son, Christopher, who attends school here in Marshfield, Marshfield High School. I assume you're JJ, your son's listening as well tonight. Jim, I want to make sure our children know that we can run campaigns that highlight public policy differences without disappointing name-calling or some kind of attack ads that come out. So I'm looking forward to a positive debate tonight, looking forward to discussing issues, and I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Jim Cantwell. Appreciate your vote on November 4th.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement with Jim Cantwell. Now your opening statement, Jim Pavlik.
Yes, good evening, everyone. And I'd like to start off by saying, go Patriots. Just a little bit about myself, since I know a lot of people don't know anything about me. I'm a son of a 34-year career firefighter. My mom is a homemaker. She was a homemaker. And I went to Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering. I joined the Marine Corps right after college, went to flight school, flew tactical jets in the Marine Corps on active duty for 8.5 years, and then I got off active duty in 1990 to pursue a career in commercial aviation. I'm currently a pilot for American Airlines, flying the Boeing 777 International out of New York. And I also joined the Marine Corps Reserve in 1990 and had a 30-year career. In 2003, I was mobilized. I did get sent to Iraq for a period of 9 months, and I just recently retired from the Marine Corps in February 2012. One of the biggest reasons I'm running is to lessen our tax burden. I think we pay way too much in taxes. Specifically, you look at the gas tax, that may it's going to go into effect for sure, but the automatic tax increase is what we hope to get repealed with question one on a ballot November 4th. So I appreciate your vote on November 4th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Pavlik, his opening comment. Now we're going to go to questions. Kevin Tonchi, your question for the candidates.
First question is to Representative Cantwell. You've been under fire by the Republican Party for a position you took about the possible gas tax during a debate held on this station in 2013. Now, according to the Republicans, you stated that you wouldn't vote for a gas tax, while you have reportedly said your words were twisted by the GOP. Do you feel this disagreement or your vote to support the gas tax could hurt your chances for a fourth term?
No, I don't think so. I think voters in my district understand that, first of all, there are smear tactics that the Republican Party have been trying to do and indeed have spent some $300,000 to smear me and other Democrats in the state, a group that will not reveal where their funding sources are coming from, yet they say they want transparency, a group that purposely misrepresents votes, that we'll hopefully get into in a moment, that are outright lies, and a group that also misrepresents where they come from. So I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed that my opponent has been repeating those as well. And it's actually not Jim. Jim's actually a good guy. But some of the campaign people he has with him, when he's away and he's overseas, they write things on his Facebook account that I think are outrageous. But let's talk about the gas tax. The gas tax in Massachusetts is now, it's going to be 24 cents. We had not raised the gas tax in over 21 years. The gas tax does very important things that help all of us. And one reason why the South Shore Chamber of Commerce and Mass Taxpayers Foundation and others support it.
Sorry, and remember, either of you gentlemen, if there's a question that you feel that you didn't get enough chance to answer at the end, you can always incorporate that into the end of your statement. Your question for Jim Pavlik.
For Jim, there's been some concerns that as a full-time commercial airline pilot, you will not have enough time to put in as a state rep, as you already had. You've had to reschedule or cancel events on your campaign. What will your commitment level be moving forward?
Because of my seniority in my position, I do have the seniority to go ahead and adjust my schedule as necessary. So I will have the flexibility to meet all my commitments as a state representative. In the past, I am placing the priority of my campaigning after the primary. From here on in to the election on November 4th, I will be dedicated to campaigning. And I am dedicated the last 2 weeks purely towards campaigning. I do have time off from my flying job.
Just a follow-up question. Are you going to keep the airline job, or are you going to... or you're going to kind of put it on the side if you are victorious and be a full-time state rep?
I will maintain my flying job. I will have to move my flight schedule around, which means I'll probably have to fly most weekends.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Charles Matthewson, question for the candidates.
Starting with Jim Pavlik.
Yes, sir.
We have two Jims here, so we have to have last names. Do you support the expanded bottle bill?
No, I do not. I look at that as a very similar to the automatic tax hike and gasoline. There is no need to increase the bottle tax on non-carbonated beverages. That's another money grab scheme that'll just increase more money for the politicians on Beacon Hill to spend, somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 million. So I am opposed to question two.
Okay, but... small business people that I speak to who have redemption centers say that this is a profit center for them. It would, and expanding it will make more money for local small businesses. Letting the bottles go into the recycling stream will make more money for the big recyclers. So is this in favor of big recyclers or against the small businesses?
No, I'm not against the small businesses at all. I just think the consumer is going to be hurt more by the bottle tax, then the small business owner will be able to make money.
Okay, Jim, do you support the expanded bottle bill?
I do. And as someone who, I run a small business, I employ 12 people, and I know what it's like to have a very close margin that you have to make each week. Part of what this would do also, by the way, is to help increase, we have not been paying these bottle redemption folks at the rate that they should have been for quite some time. So this has the support for all of our environmental groups that talk about how we want to get some bottles that were not conceived of back when we actually did the first bottle bill, would be able to get those out of the streets when people are just throwing those away. It would be able to help smaller business. Indeed, I think it's sensible policy both for environmental reasons and for small business, and I appreciate the question.
Any follow-ups?
That's good.
Okay. Jim, you just said that you run a small business.
I do.
And you support, what, you said 12 people?
I do.
How many hours a week do you spend at that small business?
I am there on Fridays. My law partners call me the ghost because, I frankly, part of my thing before taking office, I committed that I would be doing this 7 days a week. And this is not a job where you can take weekends off. It's not a job where, as someone who's a commercial airline pilot, Jim has to spend 10 to 14 days away during every month. I just this weekend met with people from Sowing Seeds as we're putting together a program called We're All in This Together. It's a program for social service benefits. It's going to be October 20th. I think my record shows that I'm able to be there for every single vote. Indeed, in 2013, I made 100% of my votes. 2014, I was 99% of my votes. Already this year, just this year alone, when elections have taken place, Jim has voted absentee in both the election that just took place and our town election. And that's not a commitment. If you can't commit to be there to vote and you can't commit to be there to meet with people, your constituents, you can't do the job. Again, a very nice guy. He just cannot be there to do this job.
Well, Jim, I have to go to you. Jim Pavlik, and I have to go to you. Seems like Jim Cantwell seems like he knows what your schedule is. Is that true about how many days you have to commit to? I don't know anything about airline pilots.
No. I know that if I have a commitment that I need to attend, I can adjust my schedule. I did vote, in fact, absentee this last September 9th because I knew I needed to get a certain amount of days off to run my campaign after the primary up until the general election. So my focus of effort is after the primary. Previous to that election, my schedule came out before I knew what the election date was, so I was not able to change my schedule. And I didn't think it was a big deal because I wasn't running for campaign back then.
Quick follow-up question. Do you have to work a certain amount of days per month, or is that when
it's
flexible?
I
you don't have to work?
No, I can drop my entire schedule.
So you can go 1 day a month or 10 days a month? It's up to you?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's what I just wasn't clear about. Okay. Kevin Tonchi.
I'll start with Mr. Pavlik.
Yes.
One of the biggest issues facing the district is the FEMA flood issue. What is your understanding of the issue, and in the future, how do you plan to address it if need be?
All right. Well, I think the FEMA flood issue is very unfair to a lot of homeowners that were never impacted in a flood zone before. And it's, once again, it's big government getting involved in something that it shouldn't. It's impacting people's homes that were never in a flood zone. And now they may have to come up with money to pay the flood insurance, and they don't have the money, they possibly can lose their home. One way of possibly subsidizing that or working a way around it is to provide private insurance for the flood insurance program. It's an alternative than people have to pay the flood insurance program from the federal government that they may not be able to afford.
I just want to add that this is a Joe Rossi patented question, thanks as he helped with a couple of the questions for both forums tonight. Same question to you, Jim. What is your, you are the current state representative. What is your understanding of the flood, the FEMA flood issue, and what do you plan on doing to address it as it needs to be going forward?
The flood insurance issue is one of the single most proud things that I can say about our two communities, that Marshfield and Scituate together, we pushed back and we changed federal law. And indeed, by working with people like Joe Rossi, who was here, David Ball over in Scituate, our Marshfield Scituate Boards of Selectmen, I flew back and forth to D.C. Again, time that you have to do this is 24/7, this kind of job. We put together forums where we met with business leaders here, where we were showing that if this went through, property values were going to plummet. If this went through, bankers came and talked about how people would be losing their homes. If this went through, our towns wouldn't have money for police, fire, teachers. So we made the difference in rolling those back, but there's a lot of work still to be done. And the experience that I have working with federal counterparts, the experience working with our business leaders, is what we'll need as we try to go forward to reauthorize this flood insurance program. By the way, private insurance is not going to be able to do this. The reason why this program is there in the first place is the National Flood Insurance Program subsidizes these rates so that people can afford to stay in their homes. Saying that we should have a private option is just not going to work.
Right, there we go. Charlie?
This question has gotten me into trouble in the past, but I'm going to ask it anyway, regarding committee assignments. Jim Pavlik, as a freshman representative, what committee assignment would you prefer?
I would prefer Veterans Affairs, since I am a veteran, 30-year Marine Corps career. I am a little disappointed in some of the roll call votes that my opponent has voted against in assisting veterans, in particular in-state tuition breaks for veterans, and also illegal immigrants getting preferred housing over veterans. Those are benefits that not only our veterans have earned, but they deserve.
Okay, Jim, I'm going to let you respond to that first, quickly.
Sure, and I hope that there'll be a follow-up question about that so-called vote on illegal immigrants, because that is a central issue. But to speak for the committees, I'm proud that I was elected by bipartisan group, that I am the co-chairman of what's called the Coastal Caucus. So I co-chair that with a gentleman who's from Gloucester, Bruce Tarr, Republican state senator. He and I have done a great deal together trying to address all coastal needs, including issues like seawalls and flood insurance. The other committees, Small Business Committee, because I own a small business, and I know what it's like every week to have to make payroll, every week to be able to pay for marketing that we do. When there were high increases for health insurance, I was proud that we worked to try to stem those. We just did unemployment insurance reforms. Very proud of my record for small business. In financial services, which I've been on twice, that's a committee that helps on insurance. Joe Rossi came with me when we testified for one of our bills to try to roll back.
Would you want
insurance.
To switch any of the three committees that you're part of?
I would. One of them I would like to go on would be dealing with utilities and electricity costs. I'm outraged about what just came up from National Grid, if we have that for a question, because I think the Attorney General should be stepping in and should be bringing suit to stop those kinds of exorbitant rates. I helped call a hearing in Scituate just 2 years ago where we had National Grid fined a little over $2 million for their poor performance. So I'd like to be on that committee.
Okay.
Any follow-up question, Charlie?
Do you want to respond at all to what Jim Pavlik said about your record, your voting record with
Absolutely.
Veterans?
Absolutely. And this is going to require a little bit extra time and give him equal time as well. But my
you can have a minute 30.
All right.
And then, Jim, you can have a minute 30 afterwards.
Okay. My position on this charge of supporting illegal immigrants is that's a damnable lie. I do not support giving any state benefits to illegal immigrants, period. In fact, I voted to require Social Security numbers and proof of residency. I have the roll call votes to give to you. What concerns me is the outright misrepresentations by Jim, who's a good guy, but is following very bad advice from some people right next door who are going out and exaggerating claims. And to show you how outrageous this is, I have two quotes. Jake Comer, the past National Commander of the American Legion, his quote, "I am disappointed to see partisans attempt to use our well-deserved respect for those who serve our military in a political campaign. There has been no vote to provide illegal immigrants any housing preferences in Massachusetts, period. If that had truly happened, you would have heard loud and clear from the American Legion and other groups." He goes on to say, "These kinds of smear tactics in a campaign are unfortunate and should not be accepted." I have a quote also from the Mass Veterans Services Officers Association. These are folks like Bill Dodge locally and Dick Martin, Don Knapp. They write saying that this misleading attack on 20 representatives, some of whom are veterans themselves, appears like a well-planned tactic. They go on to say that we lead the nation in veteran services due to work of not just myself, but all those other 20 people. They go on to say, no Massachusetts legislator has ever voted to give illegal immigrant housing preferences over veterans. It's unfortunate, but that's untrue.
That's a minute 30. Now, Jim, you've got a minute 30 to respond.
Okay. This is not a question of your patriotism. It's just the way you voted, Jim. You flip-flopped on a couple of votes. They were procedural votes. I looked those votes up. I can recall the roll call votes as well. In particular, roll call vote 348, you voted against giving veterans in-state tuition breaks that the illegals enjoy. I have the supporting documentation on that. And the other vote is 241, which would not require Social Security verification for housing for illegal immigrants to get housing benefits over veterans. That's all I can say.
Okay.
All right, we need to be able to follow up, though.
You can have 30 seconds.
Right, first of all, again, people misrepresenting the facts, and this is so unfortunate, and because Jim is a good guy, but he's getting bad advice. Roll call number 122, Jim Cantwell voted to reject, or actually I voted in favor of requiring Social Security numbers to be shown and verified in order to get any state services. Roll call number 123, Jim Cantwell, I voted you must be a citizen or a resident of Massachusetts in order to be able to have housing. Roll call 125, I voted that you would have to have you'd meet federal guidelines before you got housing. Roll call 132, you must provide a Social Security number before you'd be able to have housing. These folks are, the people doing this,
Jim,
it's outrageous, and voters should not accept this.
It's 30 seconds. 30, you want another 30 seconds, Jim, and then we can get back to this at the end?
You know, we can go back and forth on this. As I said, my opponent has a tendency to flip-flop on procedural votes, so... I know what I know, and he knows what he thinks he knows, and I did in fact look up those roll call votes, and they're accurate.
Okay, I'm just going to switch topics here real quickly because I want to ask you both a question. Part of being a state rep or being in any office in politics involves dealing with the local media, and we all deal with politicians and people associated with politicians. How do you react when you feel that you're getting a bum deal by a reporter or a news organization? What is your method that you would use, Jim Cantwell?
You know, I've been pretty fairly treated. There are times where we take votes, and we should be. People should question, saying, hey, how come this vote took place, and we should sit down and talk about the things. But my response would be for me to personally make the call to the reporter, not to have some paid person do that call for me. I would come and talk to them and say, this is my position. It would show them what my votes were, try to explain what the issues were so that people would get maybe a better understanding of who I am, what I've done, and what we're trying to get accomplished in our communities.
Have you ever tried to influence to get somebody fired from local media?
No.
Okay. Jim Pavlik, same question. How would you deal with, say, a reporter that you felt wasn't giving you a fair deal?
Well, I'd confront them face-to-face or a phone call and just ask them what you think the issue that you may have with me is and why you misquoted me or portrayed me in an inaccurate manner. I'd be professional, polite, and I just try to get it straightened out that way. I work in a professional environment, both in the Marine Corps, my 30 years in the Marine Corps, and in the cockpit. So there's always a way to work your differences out in a professional manner.
And would you ever try to get a reporter fired?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay. Just a reminder, you're listening to 95.9 FM in Marshfield, WATD, the South Shore's news and information station. Kevin Tonchi, question for our candidates.
During this past legislative session, the state saw major issues with agencies like the Department of Transitional Assistance and the Department of Children and Families. Do you feel enough has been done to rectify the problems that were reported, or should there be further oversight of these departments, Mr. Pavlik?
No, I think there should be a lot further oversight, and not just firing people, but there's 134 children that are missing from the DCF. So there's got to be accountability there. How you can lose children, track of children, it's beyond me. Department of Transitional Assistance, there needs to be some oversight on that as well. There's just way too much waste and abuse, not keeping track of all the money that's going in there. I'm all for helping people that need help in a time of aid, but it seems like too much money is not accounted for.
Same question, Mr. Sure. Cantwell.
And I agree with Jim. I think it's outrageous. Any time that there is someone who is misusing our EBT program or any of these things that are truly there to help people, Jim, you're absolutely right, that we should all be upset about that, because these programs are meant to help some of the most disadvantaged people in our communities. And there were examples of people who could be folks who were really poor, Jim, and there were some businesses that took advantage of them and said, you know what, we'll give you 50 cents on the dollar if you sell us your card. Outrageous. So it's one of the reasons why I voted early on to require that you'd have to have a photo ID on your EBT card. We have actually voted, and I've been talking to our local police chiefs about making sure that we work with DTA and we share information so we can properly prosecute when these kinds of cases take place. We also got to make sure that these people actually, we change requirements so that they do a better job with DOR checking on people's eligibility to make sure they actually needed the assistance and that they weren't cheating the system. So that's certainly a place where we both agree.
Okay. Questions? Charlie Mathewson.
Plymouth County filed 6 bills in the last session. 2 passed. The state will pay full cost of renting the 3 courthouses still owned by the county, and a bill that freed the county of the $6 million in retirement funds for employees of the sheriff's department, now state, not county employees. In the next session, would you support the other 4 bills that will be refiled? Jim Cantwell.
I'd have to sit on each one of them, Charlie. I'd have to sit and look at the merits of each one of them. The question is about bills that the Plymouth County commissioners and the treasurer and others file. We have a vested interest where Plymouth County is doing things well. We want to make sure to be supportive of those measures. They do cooperative purchasing, for example. There's a dredge program that I guess caused a lot of controversy that they were looking to do. There are other areas where I know the DA's office, I think, is well run. The sheriff's office is well run. But we really need to meet and make sure that they are spending the money most efficiently. It does become, it's not a joke, but it's an issue every year that we have supplemental budget requests being done by our counties. And the question back is always, are we spending our money as effectively as we should? So to answer your question, I certainly would be open. I want to help our partners in government in Plymouth County, but I'd have to look at each of those bills on the merits.
Okay, I'll come back with you with some specifics. Jim Pavlik, would you support the 4 bills that did not pass in this session?
Yeah, to be completely honest with you, I'm not familiar at all with any of those bills, so I don't know what those bills are about. So,
Let's get specific with each of you.
Yeah, sure.
One would give them a so-called rainy day account stabilization fund that every city and town has.
Okay.
2 would deal with the 10% excise deeds tax, increase it to 42%. And the other would allow them to bond to cover unfunded retirement liability. Do those sound reasonable to either of you? Jim Cantwell.
I would tell you, what certainly is I think, a wise thing going forward is trying to do for a rainy day account. Massachusetts state government, we have the 4th most robust stabilization account in the country, and that's because we had Republicans and Democrats working very closely together on a series of things to get our house in order. Very briefly, Charlie, some of the things we did back when I first came into office, we merged 5 state agencies into 1, saving a great deal of funds. We ended up having to lay off over 4,000 people, not because we were happy about it, but because that was required to do in the budget crunch that we had. We made sure that we had everyone who stayed in government had to have a 10% increase or so for health insurance. We made tough decisions. I and others had to do a furlough. We did all those things so that we could make sure we would have our rainy day account and we could deal with some of these budget difficulties. So I absolutely, with our partners in government from Plymouth County, I think that is a sensible thing to try to work with them. Secondly, on the bond to cover unfunded liability, that's something that we're doing at the state level, too, when we have excess revenues.
Go into that later. Charlie, I'm just in case people are not familiar with that, you said about the excise tax, about the deeds, about going to 42%. You mean increasing the portion that goes to Plymouth County. Okay,
right,
just in
right.
case, because you said you weren't familiar with that.
Yes.
That was a little
yes.
confusing. Currently,
10% of the deeds excise tax that the Registry of Deeds generates goes to the county. 90% goes to the state, and the county commissioners want to increase that to 42%.
It
used to be 100% went to the county.
Right.
So, Jim Pavlik,
yes.
on those questions, could you support a rainy day account, increasing the excise deeds tax that gets returned to the county, and a bond to cover unfunded retirement liability.
So an excise deeds tax, that would be a tax increase, or this is just taking 42% of a current deeds tax?
So the current deeds tax that the Romney administration changed the formula so that more went to the state than to the county.
Since Governor Patrick's been in office, the stabilization fund, or the so-called rainy day fund, has dwindled from $2.3 billion down to $1.2 billion. So that money is being spent, not what it's designed for.
But this is for county government. Would you support allowing county government to have a stabilization fund?
Oh, yes. Yes, I would.
Okay. Let's go to the lightning round, okay? Here's my lightning round question. This is two sentences. Where do you stand, and this is tougher too, but I know you can do it, where do you stand on the Marshfield Airport expansion? Do you support it or not support the way they're doing it? Let's start with you, Jim Cantwell.
I think, one, it's a business, the first line, it's a business that's been there since the 60s. Second, the citizens there have some legitimate concerns about noise and about fumes.
Okay. Jim Pavlik, what do you think about the Marshfield Airport expansion?
Well, I feel for the residents of the Marshfield Airport area. I think that they weren't fully informed of exactly what the expansion project involved.
Okay, good. Kevin Tachi, lightning round question.
Would you support a spearhead legislation to roll back the state's sales tax from 6.25% to 5%?
John? Yes, I would, in a gradual manner, yes.
No, because we have clearly...
Two sentences.
No, because we have things to pay for.
Okay. Charlie Mathewson.
Jim Pavlik, why is this going to be a Republican year?
Oh, we got a nice top of the ticket with Charlie Baker, and I've got Senator Hedlund running also, and myself as well.
Okay.
Okay, Jim Cantwell, why is this going to be a Democratic year?
I think because people value wise government and want to support good people.
Okay. Let's give you folks a chance to ask each other a question. Jim Pavlik, a question for Jim Cantwell.
All right, Jim Cantwell. This is pertaining to roll call votes 149 and 159. And roll call votes 149, it's a conference committee report on the 26th of June, 13, and on 159, on the 24th of July, you voted for the $500 million tax package. Can you please name all the taxes that were increased when you voted for that tax package?
All right, so first, so that people understand, a conference committee report, what that is, it's when the House does one version of a bill and then the Senate does a different version, then it comes back for what's called a conference committee. When it came to what Jim is specifically asking about is the gas tax, and I'm very pleased that the Patriot Ledger printed just this weekend the report of my vote, where I have voted and I am unequivocally opposed to having the automatic indexing of the gas tax. That's my vote. And that's indeed what has been reported several times in the Patriot Ledger. There also, by the way, was a tech tax that was in that. I voted against that as well. But when it comes to the what came back in a compromise, there are things that for 21 years, people in government refused to make the tough decisions. And indeed, there was a Republican governor who signed off on a $1 billion bond that was supposed to be paid by increasing the gas tax a tiny bit each year. That was done back in 1998. When I came into office, no one did anything about it, so that grew to be $2.3 billion. What I'm getting to is there were bad practices that were taking place, including they were paying...
Sorry, Jim.
Add some more time for him. Give equal time.
That's it. We're off, Kim. Okay, your question for Jim.
Okay, and for Jim. In each of our campaigns, there are different things that take place, but my concern, Jim, is... when you were going to the doors of my supporters, going to my supporters and asking them why they were taking signs for Jim Cantwell, and indeed going to one person in Scituate where you said, you're a Republican, why are you taking a sign for Jim Cantwell? That person happened to be a Scituate selectman. Jim, can you name who the five Scituate selectmen are from 2013 and 2014?
The five Scituate selectmen, John Devaney, Anthony Vignani, Marty O'Toole, Sean Harris, and I don't know the fifth one.
Okay, there you go. Any other lightning round questions, gentlemen, for this?
Plymouth County government, for or against, Jim?
For it.
Jim.
Four.
Jim Pavlik, okay.
Okay. Let's go to closing statements. You both got 2 minutes. Again, we're going to reverse the direction that we did that in the beginning. We started with Jim Cantwell, and we went to Jim Pavlik. So this time, with our closing statements, we're going to go to Jim Pavlik first, and then Jim Cantwell. You've got 2 minutes, Jim.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and WATD, thank you very much for this opportunity for me to introduce myself to you and what issues I'm taking a stance for. I want to help the Scituate and Marshfield residents by lessening our tax burden and putting our residents back to work. Our unemployment rate just ticked up another 0.2% from 5.6% to 5.8%, and I plan on doing that by endorsing the Small Business Bill of Rights. Also, I'm not happy with the direction that our state is headed in. When I go on knocking on people's doors, people are not satisfied as well with the direction the state's headed in, specifically with the increase in taxes, specifically the gas tax, and also just recently with National Grid announcing a 37% hike in their rates, which equates to approximately $33 a month. So if you're not happy with the culture or the system, you need to change the system, and the only way you can do that is by changing the people. So please vote for me on November 4th.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Pavlik. Now, Jim Cantwell, your final statement for our listeners.
Christine, thank you very much. And thank you for folks, not only people listening in WATD, but people watching on Marshfield or Scituate Cable. As I said in my opening, this has been the greatest professional honor of my life, being your state representative. And I appreciate the ability of working with you and other community leaders to make a difference. We weren't able to talk about all the things that I listed from before, so I do want to highlight a few. Because we talked about flood insurance, but when it comes to economic development, not only have we made a big difference in getting the Route 139 project completed that I pushed ahead some 6 years, that will create 900 new permanent jobs here for our region. Additionally, I have a very exciting workforce development announcement that we'll be doing soon, legislation that I was able to get passed that's going to allow Massasoit Community College to be able to come to our region. We're going to be bringing a college here to Marshfield to help in workforce development for our entire region. For seawalls, we didn't get a chance to talk about seawalls, but the first line of defense, I'm very proud of legislation that I authored to go forward and be able to allow people to have some support in each of our towns. We just announced in 2 weeks ago $8 million to help us repairing our seawalls. These are some very complicated issues, and others of combating substance abuse, promoting more welfare reform, promoting election reform. These are serious issues that take a serious candidate to give 24/7 time. I appreciate your vote in the past. I would appreciate your consideration of your vote on November 4th. My name is Jim Cantwell. My phone number is 781-837-1960. And please visit my website, www.jimcantwell.com. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Cantwell. Sorry, it was just me. Excuse me. Allergy season, gentlemen. You've been listening to a WATD political forum here. This is the 4th Plymouth District, which is Marshfield, and most of the town of Scituate. You can hear this up on our website tomorrow, 95.9WATD.com, and you can hear selected cuts from this during our morning drive news tomorrow. And, of course, we'd like to thank both the candidates for showing up tonight. Yeah. It's always hard, as we tell people. It's tough to run for any office. Very tough.
It definitely is.
Honestly, couldn't pay me enough. But I love reporting on it, and you guys are both good candidates, so I'm glad you came out here tonight.
Thank you, Christine.
Of course, we will have reporters at your headquarters on election night bringing you all the results, and we tell people the general election, that's of course on November 4th, and if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Stay tuned, we've got part number two coming up. I'm Christine James in WATD.